We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 436. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Venak. How are you enjoying it? It's quite the summer we got so far here.
You know, I complained a lot about the weather not that long ago, and I'm not complaining anymore. So
No, it was finally a start for us over in the West Coast, but it's hot now, so that's good. And that's as far as you go with weather. It was good hanging out with you. I mentioned that in the last show, I think. And now we're just back at keeping busy during the holidays, or not holidays, but always feels like a holiday. It should be a holiday for all of us. I know I control that, but I'm still not going to do it.
Come on, we can have July and August off. let's start. We're going to record the show, and then we're off for 6 weeks. So we'll be back.
Tell our clients that, right?
If I just say it on the air, does that not make it official?
Yeah, our team will be on skeleton crew for July and August. Don't ask any questions, but your work will be done.
yeah, there we go. And yeah. If you're a client, just ignore all that.
Oh yeah, they won't know. Yeah. We'll use AI to automate our answers.
We'll get there.
Well. Yeah, that'll go
really well. It'll just be like, well, we'll talk about it in a minute under local. There's a similar thing that's coming up. So
true. And I almost feel like we talked about that recently. But anyway, let's jump into some random SEO news. There's no non-SEO news today. I thought this was kind of funny. Google has been doing this lately. Well, Google has recently released a super, and this is quoting from Barry Schwartz on Search Engine Roundtable, a super basic video on SEO. Now, I did watch it and I agree. It is super basic. And it's their way of giving people a crash course in the very basics of SEO. Of course, they don't say basic. They say this is SEO because that's what they believe SEO should be. There's really nothing else to it. I'd be insulted, but whatever. Who cares? Even they know there's more to it. It's just for the average person, the average layman, they should just be creating great content, which is the essence of what they're talking about, as well as making a title tag, using Google Trends to find out what people want to read, making sure the content you create is based on that, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not rocket science the way they've done it. It's only 4 minutes long. So, you know, they're not going overboard. But, you know, recently they created that course too for people to learn SEO, which was a bit of a shocker. I don't know anyone yet who's done it. I can't imagine it's excellent by any stretch because I'm fairly confident that aside from maybe some of the advanced issues that we do run into, there wouldn't be much of that. I think they'd be mainly leaning on ensuring like proper layout of content, maybe using markup. I don't know. I guess we should do it just to see. Yeah. What do you think? We have all the time in the world, right?
Yeah, I'm bored lately, so. It could be a fun project, though. Absolutely could be a fun project.
At least check it out. I'd like to see what they're saying. Not because I think it's going to have any impact on our clients at all. There's nothing that's going to be a surprise to any of us because, well, we know what they use for their search rater guidelines, all these different things. It's not going to be good that great. But I wouldn't mind knowing. So why not? I'll put it on my late year schedule.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what's next? It looks like another review.
Yeah. And I was just saying before we started recording, it's funny how we get these Google reviews these Google updates that are live and happening literally as we're recording. It's like just started, I don't know, an hour ago for us. On July 27th, there is the July 2022 product review update. So this is, I believe, the fourth installment of the product review updates that started early last year. Like I said, it's happening right now, so there's not really a lot to report about it just yet. And if you don't have a website that publishes product reviews, it shouldn't affect you really at all. As usual, it'll take about 2 to 3 weeks to roll out. And yeah, so there you go. If you have a product review site and you're seeing some fluctuation in your rankings, hopefully for the better, that is what's happening.
Yeah. And the gist of it is simple. If you drop in rankings, it's not because of a penalty. It's because they're trying to surface higher quality product review sites. This is right out of Google's mouth. You know, they're not, it's not a penalty. It'll feel like one, but it's not. It's just you're being bumped down because they feel others are better. And it'll be interesting to see how good they are at picking those out. And I imagine that's why they're doing so much testing with it right now, or rolling it out so carefully. Like, fingers crossed, they are actually trying to do it carefully.
Well, 2 to 3 weeks, at least they're not just dumping the whole thing in one shot and seeing what sticks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. There has been a Google indexing issue. I heard about this. They had it fixed the same day, didn't they, in the morning?
But yeah, the next morning, I think it was just under 24 hours.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to include it. It's kind of old. Well, it's not super old news, but it could become relevant for some people out there. This happened on July 15th. It was fixed early on the 16th. If you have a news-oriented website, it's probably affected you the most. Google was not indexing new content on that day, and so there was a lot of delays in getting content indexed. If you have a really active blog or a site where you're really pumping out a lot of content, you might look back at your analytics and see a dip in traffic on July 15th and wonder, what's going on? Why is Google not spidering that day? Why am I not getting any traffic? What's happening? Well, don't panic. Don't try fixing your site. It has nothing to do with you. It was just a good chance it was related to this indexing issue on that one day. So I want to include it so there's no anyone that hears this that then looks at their analytics and sees that drop or sees a potential drop. You've got a reference point there. So
I wonder how many of our listeners are that intense about monitoring such things. It would be interesting to know. If you are a person that monitors the indexation of your site quite often, out of curiosity, just post it to our Google Facebook group. I would really interested to see who you are and what you do, and maybe we can get a discussion going about that kind of thing, because it does imply a level of interest in SEO and importance in your website. And I'm just fascinated to see who you are and what you do. So just an offer there. We can have a little chat. Okay. Now this is interesting. Google is showing a return period on some product search results. This is what this means essentially is when you're looking at product search results in Google, it's going to show the product, show the price, and then below that, it'll say the return date. So essentially the return policy, one example would be 15-day returns. Another would be 30-day returns. And I think it's a great idea because, well, frankly, I don't use Google's product search thing, but probably because I'm in Canada and I don't find it very relevant. But if I was in the States, I think it'd be really interesting because it's a pretty important factor. If you're having something mailed to you, you need to know that you can get it back to them quickly or within the return period. So I think it's interesting they've added that and a benefit to those who use it. I wonder how much benefit there is. I don't know whether or not they really buy anything directly from the site, but at least it'll be another simple way for people to get to the content they like and the products they like.
We'll be curious to see how it does affect click-through rates, because I feel like it definitely, if you have a good return policy, it could have a positive impact on your click-through. Like, think if you have your product listed and there's your competitor listed and you've got basically the same product and the same terms, but you have a 30-day return policy, they have a 15. I mean, if I'm buying and that's the main differentiator, I'm going with a 30. Like, why wouldn't you, right? So
yeah. If all things were equal, which never is. Because I'd be looking at reviews, I'd be looking at
Well, one example might be with big box stores. Let's say you're looking at, I don't know, Walmart and Best Buy, and you want to buy a Logitech mouse, and it's, you know, the exact same model that everybody has. It's the exact same price at both stores, but Walmart lets you have a couple extra weeks to return it, which is, as this random example, it might actually be true compared to Best Buy. So if you're a small business where, you know, you've got your own created product or some niche, I don't think it'll really have much of an impact, but I think it will have an impact for big box and any sort of mass produced product being sold by a major retailer.
Well, even smaller retailers, if it had a lower or a longer, essentially, if your return policy is longer, you may earn the first review. They might review your product and your page first. You know, like you said, the click-through rate. So I think that would be a benefit. There's more research to be done when it's vendors you don't know about or anything like that, but I think it still could be quite interesting. Anyway, a nice addition. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk some local SEO and some other files.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
As digital professionals and business owners, we understand the critical importance of a secure and high-performing website. That's why I want to talk to you about Kinsta, a managed WordPress hosting provider that delivers exceptional speed, security, and reliability. Kinsta's infrastructure is optimized for WordPress, ensuring your site loads lightning fast and ranks well in search results. They utilize Google Cloud's premium tier network and CD3 virtual machines, which significantly boost performance. In fact, Kinsta customers often experience up to a 200% increase in site speed just by migrating to their platform. Security is paramount, and Kinsta provides enterprise-grade measures to protect your valuable data. They are one of the few WordPress hosting providers with SOC 2 certification, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Kinsta's My Kinsta dashboard offers a user-friendly interface with a comprehensive suite of tools to manage your site efficiently. From cache control and debugging to redirects and CDN setup, My Kinsta simplifies website administration. For SEO 101 listeners, Kinsta offers specific advantages. Their platform is optimized for speed, a crucial ranking factor in search engine algorithms. Their security measures protect your site from malware and hacking attempts that could damage your online presence. And their expert support team is available 24/7 to assist with any technical issues that may arise. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit KINSTA.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Fenach. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com, where you won't miss a single link, and you can refresh your memory of a past show at any time. All right, what is up next?
We've got Google adding some automated messaging through their business profiles FAQ. I'm not sure if the FAQ before, to be honest, I should know this, but now you can add up to 10 FAQs and have the answers automated when people send you a message through Google Business Profile and the messaging section. So, you know, a little automation probably can't hurt, although, to be honest, I hate it when I'm doing a chat with a website and I get an automated canned response rather than a real person. That drives me crazy, but definitely some benefits there.
I wonder if they're going to allow you to embed that. I'm trying to see, put it on your website. That would be a smart move for them.
Make a widget out of it or something.
Yeah. Because, I mean, then they'd be, well, they already are technically by doing this, but kind of stepping in the zone of chatbots for websites and FAQ bots, that kind of thing. I've configured one for a client before and recently, and it was a lot of work. It's very useful. No, not everyone's going to love it, but it is very useful. For the people who have very common questions, it's a good thing to have. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Right now, it's a 40 character limit answers for the question and 500 for the answer. Plus, you can include links, which is a nice surprise as well. So we'll see how that pans out. It's for Google Maps and Google Business Profiles. So
those links will definitely be followable links for SEO, right?
Of course. Yes. Yes. You get those links from Google, Google's going to favor you.
Could you imagine getting links from Google?
Oh, brother.
Domain authority of 100. Come on.
Yes.
PageRank 10.
Hole in their algorithm. That would be hilarious. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I read about this the other day and I was horrified, but frankly, not that surprised. So there's a Google one-star restaurant review scam. And essentially what people are doing, all the most wonderful people in the world, they're saying that, you know, I need you to give me, they put in a negative review and they say, I will remove this or update it to be positive if you give me a gift card. And the negative review is one star. Now, if people don't do that, they will leave it there and it legitimately won't look good. Now, Google has been notified of this. So if you do receive anything like that, forward it to Google, let them know. They will then remove that particular review, which is a good thing. I thought it was interesting. One of them said, their common reason for doing this, at least their explanation, is that this is the, I live in a poor country. This is the only way I know of to make money to feed my family. It's like, oh, brother. I'm not saying it's impossible. That's the case, but it's unlikely. It's, you know, I'm sure there's some better things they could be doing.
And I'm sure they're, you know, scammers aren't dumb. And they're saying that because it's clearly working in some instances, and they're not making, you know, they're not getting a return of the occasional business owner. They're getting a lot of returns on this and making a lot of money. And yeah, there's no sob story. These guys are making a lot of money. They're not trying to feed their family. Not that that would justify it, but.
Well, and it says, just, can you imagine how many people they've hired to leave one-star reviews and then reach out? It's like a farm again. It's amazing. Like the economies that Google sets up
there's
inadvertently.
There's a fascinating, for anyone out there that knows who Mark Rober is, he's a, you know, YouTuber, ex-NASA guy. And I won't go too much into detail on this, but he got together with some hackers, like reverse hackers who hack the hackers, and they infiltrated a bunch of call centers in India. I don't know if you saw that or not. And it kind of touches base on some of this sort of stuff. And it's unbelievably fascinating. Like one call center, I think they said there was like $6 million a month scamming people. And there's just a lot to it. I can't go into it in this show because it's just too intense, but look it up if you're interested in that. And I bet it's call centers like that are, you know, leaving these one-star reviews. It's just part of their arsenal of scams. And
yeah, I'm sure there's think tanks thinking up the next dozen scams, you know, too, while they're working on those and they're getting noticed. It's going to start to decline their abilities to make that work. And the next one will come out.
It's kind of sad if you think about it, because you've got the people that are creating these scams and running it. To be honest, they're brilliant to be able to do it and pull it off. And they're hacking. It's bad, obviously, and they shouldn't do it, but they've got to be pretty smart people to do it. And if they took all that power and put it into something productive and not illegal and scamming, I'm sure they could come up with some good stuff out there. You know,
just wouldn't be as easy.
No, I guess. But
in their minds anyway.
I don't know. It's just frustrating.
I couldn't see, but fascinating. I don't know how they do it, but different upbringings, perhaps, who knows?
Absolutely.
And this is an appreciated update to Google Maps. They are apparently, but at least may remove selfies, blurry or poor quality images. Now, this is not, in my experience, being a big issue. I haven't seen a lot of them. I have seen ones that looked kind of awful. Like part of the image has the actual shop in it, the rest of it doesn't. Like, just kind of like, why did you even post this? They're doing it because they're going to get a local profile boost, you know, or they're a local quality rater. Set the word for it. A local guide.
Local guide. Yeah. They want the points. Five points a photo.
That's right. That's right. So that's usually why, I think. Anyway, I'm glad to hear they're going to be removing those. Hopefully, too, they'll start paying attention to who's putting them up.
If they start filtering out those images, God. Am I muted?
No, I'm what? Just saying oh. you. Oh. You're really one of them.
I am one of them, but I'm posting useful photos. I want to get up to level 8. I'm level 7. I need like a million points now. It's like impossible. I'm need
level
to post...
7 too. Forever yeah. I've been level 7. It takes forever like, to get past that.
I don't need like an extra 10,000 points or something. That's like 2,000 photos. So I'm just going to go to McDonald's after work and take 2,000 photos. I'm just going to walk around the building.
Here's the
and
first franchise. French fry. Yeah. Here's the second franchise.
Hey, perfect. I'll have different French fry. Yeah. You know, like.
Stacking. Yeah.
Oh, and I don't know why I want to be level 8. Like, honestly, who cares? It means nothing. Just fake internet points that don't help you in real life. But I don't know.
There's a point where level 8, I'm probably wrong, but I believe that there was a point where level 8, back when it was new, would get you invited to the Googleplex, or you'd be part of the people that might be for their tours and stuff, and they pay for everything.
Now I want to do it. I'm going to McDonald's for sure now. part of this update makes me wonder what will happen if they're going retroactively and deleting, removing all these bad photos from, you know, who knows how far back. Are those people that post them going to lose the points for that? And can they even track
be
that?
Be worried, I guess Scott. They could. Be worried.
I know. I'm going to be back to level 6. This is not good.
Oh, God.
I only post good photos. Come on.
Of course
on.
You do. Of course. It's all objective, though. Subjective.
It's all subjective. Yeah. They're arty. They're artsy. No.
Now for the Mueller file, someone asked about counting links and whether or not the data within Google Search Console is about just how relevant or how good a quality it is. I'll get into the actual question. That's not worth it. But the point is, John Mueller said, quote, "Don't focus on the number of links any particular tool shows. There's no correct way to count links. Interpretations vary wildly. Think of links as a way that people can reach your site, not as a metric of its own. The number of links any tool shows is not a ranking factor," unquote. And that is something that's been widely known amongst SEOs. Every single dang tool has a different count of links. Yes, there will be some overlap, but the net is massive. It is so unbelievably massive that when they scan the net, there's just no way they can cover it all. And each one starts in a different point. So they may go and find different branches and different links. And that's why actually at one point we had our own tool that we, a friend of ours passed along to us because he was tired running it. That took all of the different link reports from different products and then meshed them together and then checked each one of them. That was the time consuming and expensive part to make sure they all existed, and then outputted a final one, which was pretty comprehensive. But you know, that's a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of work. And there's now products out there that do that, I'm sure already. Not specifically that, but the point is, that was number of how many years ago? That was probably 8 years ago, at least maybe 10. Now, nowadays, I can't even imagine how many links you'd have to scour for a big site. It would be insane and costly. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, if you want to get into backlinks, you want to see just how you're doing. The only tool I can really heartily recommend, because I know they focus specifically on it, is Link Research Tools. You're just going to need to take a bit of a loan out to run it. No offense to guys there. We did pay for it quite a while, but it was so expensive. And again, I see why. That is a lot of computing power. And they had some really unique and ingenuitive, I can't speak today.
Ingenuitive?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Ingenious tools, I guess I would say, that were very unique. And yeah, they just did a great job. And that's, you know, that's another thing. There's some definite IP there that they had to protect and get paid for. Anyways, the long and the short of it is, don't focus number of links. Just focus on creating great content, which Google loves to say all the time. We do too. When I'm talking to clients, it is important. It is really what it comes down to. Your only way you're going to differentiate yourself from another business is either through two ways: ensuring that you have an excellent product, service, and then an obvious differentiator that is impressive. But then content, really great content. And Google can't determine you've got a great product. Maybe they can through a few signals here and there, but it's still not nearly what they can do, what a person can do when they're researching it. But they can tell if your content is well written and unique and has legs. You know, it's gotten reviews, it's gotten or it's been shared, it's been commented on. There are links pointing to it from popular places. You know, there's a lot of content there that's a lot of signals there that can be helpful.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
All right, we have a question. Fire away.
Yeah, so I originally was going to read the question, and I feel like to read it, I can understand it, but to read it out loud and be listening to it might be a bit difficult to follow. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase it and reword it completely. Sorry, Dale. So Dale from our Facebook group, Lauren Shaw. Yeah, cool. Hopefully that's right. I think it's right.
I hope so.
He had a question about, he had an e-commerce client and they're worried about canonical tags and on product pages across different categories. So if you have a product that fits into multiple categories and ultimately falls under different URLs, so you have a category 1/product page, category 2/product page, and all those product pages are the same across multiple categories. What is the solution here? Should I place a canonical tag on all the category pages or all the product pages under different categories pointing to one singular product page? And the short answer is yes. You should pick the one category page that makes sense to have indexed and point your canonicals there. There is a caveat, and I believe Brenda Malone in our Facebook group also pointed this out, that Google looks at canonical tags as a suggestion and they won't necessarily do exactly as you tell them to do. So the canonical tag is a correct one, the way to go, because you do want those pages spidered. But if it's critically important that those other pages are not indexed, you may want to block them or update content on them or do some other things there. But from the sounds of it, yes, put the canonical tag as you mentioned in your question and you should be okay.
The other caveat I put in there is if each of those categories offer a different use for the same product, trying to think of it, let's just call it a widget. Maybe the widget can be used in BMWs. Maybe the same widget can be used in a tractor. Maybe the same widget can be used in a, let's say they're bearings. Hey, we know a client that's got the bearings, one of our own, and maybe it's a bearing that could also be used in a bike. Well, those are different use cases and each of those pages deserve their own custom written content for those use cases. And that's perfectly okay. They won't be duplicated though. And so this question, we kind of moot if you did it right. So just saying there are options and reasons for having unique content when it's the same product.
Another thing to note too, and I don't know, I wouldn't change your URL structure unless it's brand new or you're still in development, but often now, because the domain name and URL string keywords in there don't really matter too much. So even eliminating the category from the URL completely, and then you only have one product page ever, might be the right solution. It may not always be. Again, it's the age old, it depends situation, but maybe something to consider in your case and just eliminate those category pages altogether. But don't, please, whatever you do, don't just eliminate them and redirect them and then message us back. This 20-year-old site that had these well-established URLs are all crashing now. I don't have enough information to give you a 100% answer, but that may be a solution.
Yeah, it'll always depend because we're not actually working on this task for you. All right, one additional addition. I'd like to put out something we've learned or something we came up against with a client recently. Sometimes we get some interesting questions and interesting scenarios. This one was very simple, but very unique in that it seems so simple. Apparently the Ahref site auditing tool. So Ahref is a tool out there that helps with SEO or at least doing research, told our client that he needed to have proper title and meta tags on his 404 pages. And he got a little stressed out. He's like, oh my God, is this important? No, just make sure you've got a 404 page and that it's working. And yeah, sure, you can do things to make them a little better. but by all means, put that at the low point of any task. And you certainly don't need a unique one for each one. Just page not found, or sorry, nothing here. Let's find a better place for you. You know, something like that. I mean, just, you can be campy with it, have fun with it. The point of the matter is these audit tools do a good job generally, if it's a good program, a good company that they're based with, but not everything should be treated equally. And, you know, definitely don't stress over such things. If there's a major issue, then it usually will tell you. And I'm betting that did not say that was a major issue.
You know, that brings up a good point where these various tools, while they have their place and they're very useful for a lot of cases, they don't necessarily replace having an actual SEO work on your site, because you need someone to interpret that data and understand what that data means. And sometimes a non-issue can look like a really big issue if you don't understand it or you don't know it. Or also the tools make mistakes. I can't remember what it was. There was an issue with Moz, and I was with tech support constantly with them, trying to figure out why a certain issue kept appearing. It was saying there was like 5,000 errors in a certain way. I can't remember what the issue was, but there were no errors, there were no problems. And then it turned out to be a problem with the architecture that the site was using that Moz couldn't get around. So it was finding errors where there weren't any. And the client was freaking out about it. Like, why are there all these problems? Like, well, there aren't. There just aren't. And we've talked to tech support, and the client might not know that, to talk to tech support and try to track down what's going on here. And in that case, it was something Moz couldn't fix. It was kind of, I wish I had a better example. It was quite a few years ago, yeah. And I don't recall exactly, but at any rate, the tools aren't perfect. And if you don't know that, you know, you rely on them and you make changes that you shouldn't make potentially.
And half the time it's context.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's how your site was built, what your focuses are, you know, what really matters, all these things, which those tools do not do a good job of. They're meant to do sort of a good but vanilla job of auditing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think that critically, or think. Okay. Not yet. Yes. Well, I'm sure there's a few that are trying, but not yet.
Yeah.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.